Stephen Main is with us on the line. Rob, you know Stephen?
Yes.
Stephen, do you know Rob?
I do know Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Stephen. How you going, mate?
Now, Stephen, we were just talking with Lindsay Tanner, the finance minister, before. What is your response to the government's announcement today that we're like $115 billion down from revenue?
Well, I think it's clearly designed to shock us. It's shock therapy because they've tried to come up with the biggest figure you can get by including 4 years' worth of revenue in one headline figure. If you actually consider the overall big picture here, in 08-09 they were predicting revenue of $319 billion, and this is going to rise to $367 billion by 2011-2012. So in actual fact, what they've predicted today is an 8% cut in revenue. So they're saying that revenue is going to fall by $115 billion over the four-year forward estimates, down from $1.37 trillion to $1.25 trillion. And 8% isn't that much, but clearly the government wants to scare us, and they've done a pretty good job.
But Stephen, I don't understand how psychologically that works. If they want to encourage us to spend, why would they frighten us so?
Well, I'm a bit puzzled as well.
It seems like a really dumb move.
I know, and the dollar's fallen today by 75 basis points, and it's down to 63 cents. And the most important thing for us at the moment is to be able to cut interest rates and borrow offshore. And if the government's making statements which suggest that, you know, as Kevin Rudd talked about, our revenue collapsing, he used the word collapsed, well, it fell by another 5% on top of the 3% cut in revenue they announced in November. Thankfully, Westpac has today managed to get away a $4.4 billion bond issue into the Japanese market. So we are seeing our banks, with their government guarantee, being able to borrow offshore. But I must say, I personally think that they just need to be calm, put out the overall figures for 08-09, and don't, you know, roll up 4 years' worth of figures to come up with a massive number and ignore the expenses side of the equation. I mean, the other side is the expenses, and the key figure in there is the overall welfare spending was budgeted to be $103 billion this year. They've already jacked it up by $8 billion or so in November, and clearly with the unemployment claims and pension claims rising, there's also an expenses side of the budget, but there's no mention of that. It's just this sort of isolated mention of some revenue figures. So it's an odd strategy. They're providing incomplete figures, and it's designed to scare and frighten, and doing a pretty good job.
Stephen, how do you interpret... I heard the Minister mention that our... The supercharging of the Australian economy because of mining. That was presented to us 12 months ago, 18 months ago. It's just good business. How do we interpret those sort of comments?
Well, we did have an amazing revenue boom, courtesy of mining. If you look at the company tax revenue forecasts, they were tipped to go from $73 billion this financial year to $86 billion in 2011-2012. So that was going to rise by about $13 billion. But if you go back to the 2005-2006 budget, company tax revenue was only forecast to be $52 billion in the current year. So in other words, the mining boom that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years increased the forecast revenue for 08-09 this year by $21 billion. And now that is all collapsing. We're not, you know, BHP is not going to make $25 billion net Australian dollars in profit this financial year like they made last financial year. So they're just highlighting the fact that mining companies are going to pay less in tax, but they've massively increased company tax revenue over the years, and now it's going to collapse. That's just the reality of the mining boom ending.
So, Stephen, this kind of dramatic language, is this just a ploy to soften up the electorate for the government perhaps to renege on more ambitious and progressive projects? For instance, they're talking about investing money into infrastructure, and Rob would be the first to put his hand up and say it should be green-oriented infrastructure. Are they letting themselves off the hook to renege on being an innovative government?
Well, I think what they're facing is they actually are going to have a massive budget deficit this year and into the future, and they want to get the politics right as to whose fault that is and why that's happened. So today the talk is all about revenue and China collapsing, when the reality is they have actually spent $10 billion in December. So they've actually made a conscious decision to crank up the spending side of things by $10 billion. And I think now they've just realised literally how many tens of billions of dollars they're going to have to borrow offshore to fund their current spending plans. And I think they want the blame for that shock figure when it comes out to be a revenue collapse caused by mining companies rather than a spending spree which the government went on in in December. And I agree, the big infrastructure projects will be very hard to fund when, you know, we're already borrowing as a nation about 70 to 80 billion a year offshore each year, and that figure is going to surge if we keep living beyond our means.
And will we find the money? Are we still a good risk?
Well, with the dollar falling today, it's not a good risk, but thankfully our big banks have managed to borrow 55 billion offshore since the government guarantee was put in place in November. So we do have the strongest banks in the world. They are managing to borrow a fortune offshore. The federal government will now be joining in that game, so they'll be borrowing tens of billions a year offshore. And the key thing for us is to project to the world's lenders that we are a good risk and that they should keep lending to us. But in the longer term, we have to live within our means. We have to stop living off, you know, $80 billion a year of foreign debt. We have to have budget surpluses. We have to have current account surpluses. And we can't keep living beyond our means on foreign borrowings, which is what the story of Australia has been over the last few years.
So, Stephen, the other story is that housing prices have fallen. What's going to happen with the RBA tomorrow? What's your prediction with interest rates?
Well, I think they'll cut interest rates by at least 1%, down to 3.25%, maybe even 3%. The big worry there is that, you know, if the currency falls out of bed, then you can't cut your interest rates too much. But we still do have the highest interest rates in the developed world, with the exception of New Zealand at 4.25%. And we do need a massive stimulus to the economy, and we've got $1 trillion of household debt, and hopefully we need to reduce the cost of that. So big rate cut tomorrow, and it will provide direct relief, and it is the best thing that policymakers can do, is cut interest rates to Australia's heavily indebted households.
Stephen Mayne, as always, a gem to have in the armoury to actually cut through all of the talk and actually tell us what's going on. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks, Libby.